Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Today I'm going to be preaching about the fear that drives out fear. And when you get to Proverbs 1:7, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. I want to read that one more time and really meditate on it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, today, let us realize that we must fear you, Father. We must have a very respectful fear of who you are, for you are great and mighty. God, you are holy. You are powerful, beautiful. God, we honor you and glorify you today. And we thank you for giving us life. And again, thank you that we're gathered here. And Father, speak to us through the message today. And when we leave here today, we pray that, Father God, we will be increased in our wisdom, that we will live by the Spirit and not the flesh, and that we will do away with earthly and the fleshly fear that ensnares so many. Father, speak this message, I pray, through me, through your Holy Spirit. Let every word be from you, dear God, and we give you the praise, the honor and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we definitely live in a world today that is pretty much paralyzed by fear. People are afraid of life. People are afraid of dying. And they're afraid of everything that falls in between. How do we overcome fear? The Bible teaches that there is a fear that will drive out this other type of fear. I've got a definition I want to read to you of what fear is as humans would understand it. Fear is an intensely unpleasant primal emotion in response to perceiving or recognizing a danger or threat. Fear can cause psychological changes that may produce behavioral reactions such as mounting an aggressive response or fleeing the threat. And, you know, if you look around, that's what you see a lot of going on today, fear. And why is there so much fear in the world today? Well, if you turn on the television, or if you pick up the newspaper, what's the first thing you see on the news? You see nothing but negative stories. The news teams like to dig up all the negative garbage, and they like to throw it out on the television set. And here's why they do it. Number one, because they know that people will turn on the TV set and they will watch the garbage. They will take it in because the news media knows that if they can paralyze people with fear, that people will start to rely on everything that they say and tell us. Now, I want you to know this morning that everything that the news media puts out there, it's just negative garbage. And I know this to be true because I remember back during the time over in Iraq when our military had gone over there. Do you remember when they caught Saddam Hussein and they hung him and there was all this stuff going on? I can remember seeing an article or a story on the news, and they were talking about this one area of Baghdad, how it had been blown up and destroyed, and bodies were everywhere, and bloodshed, violence, and they showed all this stuff going on. And I thought, are they really? I mean, really? I mean, people are actually buying this stuff. And at Sunday night at church, we had a gentleman come and speak to everybody. And he was a high-ranking officer in the army. He had spent the last year in Baghdad, Iraq. And it was such a relief because when he showed up for church that night and he gave his testimony of what God's been doing over in Iraq, he showed little movie clips, and he also showed a bunch of slides. And I remember that Robert, he put up the first slide, and you know what it was? It was exactly what I'd seen on the news. And he was talking about how the news media, he said Fox News and CNN and all these others are putting up this story right here that this is what's happening in Baghdad. He said, tonight, I'm going to uncover to you all the truth about what's really going on. And Brother Robert started his slideshow, and as he started putting up the first slide, he said, here, right in Baghdad, he said, these are housing complexes that are being built. He said, over here, they are building colleges so that people can go to school. He said, there is no bloodshed going on in the streets of Baghdad. He said, there, everything that you're seeing, all the destruction, he said, they are taking film clips of things that happened maybe a long time ago or maybe in a different part of the world, and they're presenting it as what's happening right now in Iraq. And he said, it's all false. He said, we've actually just built a church. And he said, every Sunday we've been having church in Baghdad. And he said, people were starting to show up and people were attending service because they were hungry for the Lord. I tell you what, now what was going on in that country and things going on, the fear, you know what? That fear ought to be driving people to church to seek the Lord. But Robert said that people were getting saved by the multitudes. They were baptizing people. Well, at the end of his presentation, there were so many people who clamored up to him, and they were just asking all kinds of questions about what was going on. And a lot of them were so relieved. So see, there's a lot of fear being produced still yet in the news media today because they want to keep people crippled. They want to keep people in a state where they will depend on everything that they hear. I think I've told you before, I've got a family member that goes to church, but she chooses to live in fear. And her lifestyle of fear, she has instead of leaning on the Word of God, she has leaned on everything she's been hearing on TV, and she's gone out to the store, and she has stockpiled toilet paper. She has stockpiled paper towels, Kleenexes. She has stockpiled dry foods, powdered liquids. And she's, I mean, she has literally stuffed and crammed her house full. And I asked her one day, I said, why do you do this? And she said, because they said on TV, it's coming, it's going to happen. And I asked her, I said, where is your trust in the Lord? You go to church, why are you not trusting God through each and every day of your life? And she couldn't answer that question. And it boils down to the fact that the devil is keeping people bound up in fear. If he can keep people bound up in fear, he can keep people from going to church. He can keep folks from getting close to the Lord. You remember when Jesus died on the cross? Where did the disciples go? The disciples headed into an upper room and they locked themselves in that room. Why? Because they were afraid that the guards, the Roman soldiers, were going to come after them, and they were afraid that they would receive the exact same punishment as Jesus received. They did not want to lose their lives. They didn't want to be tortured. They were afraid this was going to happen to them. So, see, the Savior they had walked with was now gone, and they felt like they were all alone. But Jesus had told them that the temple would be torn down, but it would be rebuilt in 3 days, meaning he was going to die, but on the third day, he would rise again. And after 40 days upon the earth, Jesus ascended back into heaven. And this is what Jesus said. I'm going to send you another comforter, and he will abide with you. Who is that comforter? It's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. And the moment that you get saved, and this is what I want you to really pay attention to this morning. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit immediately comes to live within you. You don't have to go to church, and you don't have to run down to the altar or get on your face, and you don't have to beg God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. The moment that you believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, and the Holy Spirit has been sent to be your comfort, your guide, your strength, your stability, your peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. So see what Jesus was saying there? He gives us a peace that passes all understanding. His peace is so great and so mighty, we can't truly comprehend it with the human brain. We cannot understand the magnificent ways of God. But this we can do. If we get into the Word, if we would spend time in the Word, if we would spend time building up our relationship with the Lord and getting into the study of the Word and knowing what God's Word really means, and if we would stop and be still and listen to the voice of God speaking to us, then we would start to understand with our hearts what God's Word is saying. And if we would lean upon the Lord Jesus, I really believe that people could live a normal, stable life despite what's going on around them. Now, I want to talk about the fear that drives out fear. And that's the fear of the Lord. Fearing God means that you have a reverence for Him that greatly impacts the way that you live. The fear of God is respecting Him, obeying Him, submitting to His discipline, and worshiping Him in awe. Basically, you're giving your whole heart and life to God. You're surrendering and submitting everything 100% to His majesty, to His authority, and you are saying on a daily basis, Father, I submit myself to You. I resist the devil, and he'll have to flee from me. And you're also telling God that you're not going to lean on the understanding and the ways of the world. You're not going to listen to the foolishness of man. So see, man wants you to be afraid. Why? Because the enemy, Satan, works through anybody and any situation that he can. But by having a reverence before God, now, God doesn't want you to run away from Him in fear that you shake and hide. That's not what fear I'm talking about. But when you have a reverence for God, you are pouring out your heart and your life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are saying, God, I want You to operate in my life. I need You to give me understanding of Your Word, and through every situation that I face, I'm going to praise You. I will honor You. I will worship You. And you're also saying, Father, I'm going to witness for You. I'm going to attend church every Sunday. If I can get out the door and go, I'm going to go. And Lord, when I get to your house, I'm going to love my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to go to work and I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to go to the store and not be afraid to tell people about Jesus Christ. My life will be lived so that people will see that I am a light in this dark world. And Father, it's all because of what you are doing. See, if we will build our house upon the rock, the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, then our house can withstand any storm that blows up against it. Which means when trials and troubles and tribulations come your way, if Jesus is your chief cornerstone and you are hanging on dearly to every word and every promise of God and you're trusting and believing in Him, though those storms may raise up against you, you will stand untouched, unharmed. Now the devil's going to try to make you think that you're going to fall, that the bottom's going to come out of your life, and that you're done for. And if people continue to choose to listen to the negativity of the enemy, that's exactly what will happen. We set ourselves up for either victory or we set ourselves up for defeat. I remember the first time when I got called to preach in a church. I was 19 years old. And I didn't know what I was even going to preach. I had never stood in front of a crowd of people. I was scared to death to talk in front of three people. It was that bad. It really was. And I always had a lot of anxiety. I did. I would panic about things. And I would think, why am I doing it? What's going on inside of me? Why do I feel this way? It's because I was listening to every negative thing that the devil was feeding my brain. And I read to you what happens in fear. Fear, if you listen to it long enough, it will elicit a stressful response. It does. But I got the call. I showed up for church. And I was afraid the entire time. I mean, they sang like three or four songs, and somebody up there at the pulpit said, this lady got, or gentleman got there and said, does anybody have anything else? And I was sitting there thinking, let's sing about two more songs. I ain't ready yet. I'm not ready to preach. I'm afraid. Because here's why. I was afraid that the people wouldn't like me, number one. Number two, I didn't know what to say, and I was trusting in myself. See, and that's where we fail right there. When we start to trust in ourselves instead of trusting in God, we are going to fail every time. And finally, the last song had been sung, the last announcement had been given, and that gentleman got up there in the pulpit and he said, well, we have a special guest this morning to fill in for Brother David because Brother David's sick. He said, this young man has just surrendered into the ministry. And he said, Brother Jim, he used to come on up here. And I tell you what, I got behind that pulpit. And when I got up here at the pulpit at Indian Camp Baptist Church, I looked out and my knees sound like a woodpecker on an oak tree. My knees was just back. I was shaking. And my mouth was so dry and my throat just started to close up because the anxiety was welling up inside of me. And my heart was pounding out of my chest. And I literally had to stand there and just in my mind say, Lord, you got to help me. You got to help me through this. And the Lord, get this, here I was so scared, God had me preach a message on faith that morning. You know who needed that message? This guy right here. That my faith would be increased, that I would trust the Lord to get me through it. So see, I showed up for my first Sunday. I wanted to please the people. I wanted to make people like me. And you know what a problem I had with after that? Every church I went and preached at or any church that I pastored in my younger days, I was a people pleaser. I tried to get everybody to like me. I tried to get everybody to be on my side. I didn't want nobody to be an enemy or nothing. I hated that. And I went around like that every day, every Sunday. And if somebody didn't speak to me or whatever, I was like, what's the matter? What did I do wrong to them? That's how I live my life. And finally, after a while, I realized, studying the Bible one night, that my life is about pleasing the Lord and not pleasing the people. My life is about surrender to Him and letting Him work through me. You know, I've had so many blessings in this life. The anxiety I used to suffer subsided. It's no longer there. The fear is no longer there. I went to a home one time to visit a gentleman, and the gentleman basically said from his trailer window, I have a shotgun pointed at you. If you don't leave, he said, I'm going to shoot you. I wasn't scared. I wasn't. Now, before I would have run away, I would have been like Abbott and Costello. I would have been all over the place trying to get into the church van and get out of there. But I stood there for a moment, and I just felt the Lord say, it's time to leave. This is not the time for you to be here. And I just said, okay, you have a good day. I'm praying for you. Turned around, got back in the vehicle and left. I never knew what happened to that man because I never got an opportunity to witness again. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:14, blessed is the one who always trembles before God. To fear God is to recognize His authority, His dominion, His worth, and supremacy, while also acknowledging our insignificance apart from Him. See, we have to recognize that God is our everything, and we have to realize that we're nothing without Him. You can't make it through this life without Him. You can try, but you're not going to get anywhere. But when you depend on God and you respectfully fear Him and you take in everything that the Lord has to say to you, you attend church, you read, you witness, yeah, there's going to be things come up. But God will give you a peace that passes all understanding, and He will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, yesterday, even Sunday, I went to the hospital to visit, and I ran into somebody on Sunday that I hadn't seen in a long time, and I'm not going to really go off into detail. But this person I ran into had a parent in the hospital, and the attitude was basically like, well, I hope that he's going to be okay. I said, well, I'm going to pray for your dad. And I said, I believe that he's going to be just fine. Because see, I said that because either way, whatever happens, he's a Christian man. I knew him. And either way, he's in God's hands and he's going to be fine. But anyway, I got to witness a minister. And then even yesterday, as I went down to Faye's house, such a blessed time. I prayed on the way down there. I prayed on the way to the hospital last night. I pray a lot. And I say that because the more I pray, I find out it's easier to stand when I'm facing situations. When I pray, God, I'm being quiet after I pray, and I'm listening for God to speak to my heart and my life. But yesterday I was praying as I headed down and got down Springer Ridge Road, just praying, thanking the Lord for the day. asking God just to let everything go His way. And do you know, when I got in that house, there was a peace of the Lord all over that place. And, well, there were some neighbors there visiting. They were on their way out. And I got to meet them, and smiles. And when I got in that house, there was Faye sitting in her chair. And I said, "Hey there, pretty lady." And Faye looked at me and gave me the biggest smile. And she says, "Well, hello, how are you?" I'm saying that to say this. Here's a sweet, wonderful lady under hospice care. And she was laughing yesterday. She was recalling memories from things that happened in the past. She wasn't sitting there telling me, "Well, Brother Jim, I'm sick. I'm gonna die one day, and I'm afraid." That's not what she was doing. Why? Because Faye, I could tell in her heart, was trusting the Lord through her situation. But you know what? It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter if you're sick or not. When the Lord's ready for you, He's going to call you, and you better be ready to go. But what you better be concerned with is, where is your heart? Where is your mind? Where is your life at with God? That's what matters. Not what's going to go on at church Sunday or anything else. But we fellowshiped yesterday and we laughed. And Faye just smiled. And I tell you what, when I left there, my heart was so big, it was about to bust my ribs open. That's how full my heart was. And I thanked the Lord as I left that place. And when Janine got home from work yesterday evening, I shared with her the great time that we had. So see, if we trust God with every situation in our life, He's going to put you in the center of His peace. But if you take your eyes off the Lord and you start to look at the troubles going on around you, guess what's going to happen? You're going to give in to your fear and you're going to fail. See, the fear of the Lord, it's the key to life. It really is. When you start to understand God's Word and you start to understand God's ways and you start to figure out that God is who He says He is, and that God never goes back on His promises, you're going to start to understand the wisdom of the Lord. See, the wisdom of the Lord is foolishness to man. It is. But to His children who genuinely seek Him, it's everything to us. What God pours out upon you and what God fills you with, some of the greatest stuff ever. And when you have your attention fixed on Jesus, I'm telling you what, you will walk through life with an abundance of joy that you've never had before. You can't find it in a pill bottle. You can't find it by having a good-looking husband or wife. You can't find it in money. You can't find it in material things. It's only found in Jesus. It's only found in Him. See, when Stephen was being stoned, Stephen wasn't afraid. Stephen did not have a human fear going on because Stephen trusted in God. He trusted God to lead his life. And now, I've never been where people threw big rocks and boulders at me and broke bones and crushed my skull and all that. I've never had that happen. So I don't know what it felt like, but I can tell you this. Stephen lifted his head toward heaven, and Stephen mentioned that he could see the Lord and he could see His Son at His right hand. See, God was with him through it all. Even though he was being stoned, Stephen himself even said, "Lord, forgive them." And when Stephen died, he was taken immediately into heaven. He didn't give in to his fear at all. And I talked to you a couple weeks ago about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't kick and scream as they were taking them to the entrance of that fiery furnace. They said, "Well, you're going to throw us into that furnace, and either we're going to be consumed by the fire and we'll die, and that's okay because God's with us." And they said, "But we also believe that if we get thrown into that fire, that God can deliver us and we won't be harmed." And when they made Nebuchadnezzar so mad, he threw him in there, bound. And after some time, he looked in and he said, "Well, didn't we throw three men in there?" And they were like, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, I see four of them, and one is like the likeness of the Son of God." And they brought them out, and they weren't touched. But see, they didn't give in to their fear. The fear of the Lord helps you to see clearly. And I'm not talking about with these eyes, seeing with the heart. When you trust in the Lord and you've got the fear of the Lord, you're going to be able to see from your heart. And when you see from the heart, you're going to be able to look into the life of every single person, and you will be able to connect. You will. You really will. You will be able to connect and see what's going on. You'll be drawn. God will draw you to people. God will draw you to situations. God will do things with you, and you will have a clear understanding of what God sees if you will yield yourself to Him. And lastly, the fear of the Lord makes you wise. See, when you understand God's commandments and God's word, and you apply it to your life, and if you go around speaking God's word, and if you go around witnessing, then you're going to be a wise person. If you apply God's word to your life and to your situations, not, "Well, why is this happening to me again?" Oh, I'm telling you, I used to be there. I used to whine. I'd call some people that I knew, and I go, "Why? I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why." And I've had people tell me, "I've been in worse situations. I never knew." And people shared with me things they've been through. And finally, I found out when I kept my eyes on everything that the devil put in front of me, I was living a woe-is-me lifestyle. But see, when I decided it's time to couple my faith with the Lord, it's time for me to put my faith in God and walk in Him and trust Him with everything, that fear left. That uncertainty, that doubt left. So you know what? I live one day at a time. People ask me, "Well, what are you going to preach next Sunday?" Or I'd pastor a church. "Well, pastor, what are we going to do about this? Because this is coming up in 3 months. I said, "Well, I don't know yet. It's not here. The Bible says live for today." I think that's what used to drive people crazy in churches I pastored. Because I would say, "Well, today's today, and this is what we're supposed to live in. We're not supposed to be concerned with 3 months down the road." "Well, we need to know something." I go, "Well, when it gets closer to time, we'll pray and we'll seek the Lord and we'll have discussions, but we'll live for today, okay?" And they just drive them crazy. And I'd walk away, calm as could be, because I wasn't thinking about 3 months down the road. But if you want to be wise, if you want to get rid of the fear in your life, you got to quit listening to the negative people. I'll tell you this, If you're listening to negative stuff on TV, turn it off. If you hang out with negative people, get away from them. I'm not saying don't quit praying for them, but quit hanging out with them. Because if you hang around negative people, you know what they're going to do? They're going to drag you down. And if you're doing things that are against God's word, get away from it. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. That means if it's not of God, you get away from it, get far away from it, and flee to Him. Put yourself in His presence. Because I'm telling you this, if you live in the presence and if you abide in the Lord and you depend on Him and have faith, you can. You can overcome anything in this life. You really can. Whether it's death, sickness, financial, job, whatever it might be, something at church, a relationship issue, whatever it might be, if you've been praying for somebody to get saved, if you abide in the Lord and you trust in Him and you determine that your mind is there and you're not going to let anything else get in the way, you will be a wise person. If you continue in the ways of the Lord, if you fear Him and worship Him, His fear will drive out the negative earthly fear that the devil wants you to live by.